1 week in, and there have already been hiccups in the back-to-school effort. Many children are out sick with colds, parents aren't sure how long to keep them home, and there are serious delays in getting a COVID test. On top of all that, there are still concerns around busing and mask-wearing protocols. In the middle of it all are teachers. Dean Ingram is president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. He's on the line now. Good morning, Mr. Ingram.
And good morning to you.
Now, what have you heard from teachers about how these first few days back have been like?
Well, there's no doubt that this is certainly an extraordinarily stressful and normal year for students, for parents. As you mentioned, teachers are in the center of it all, and teacher parents too. So the same anxieties that parents are experiencing with their children, those are the ones that teachers are feeling as well. But that being said, like every year when the school year starts, teachers are certainly focused on their students, trying to work through what they can to give the students the best possible education delivery they can. Students need to be back, teachers want to be back, and things are being worked through.
Are there any major themes that are arising?
Well, we're certainly still expressing concerns regarding mask-wearing protocols, as you referenced. We still are, our position on mask-wearing has been consistent and hasn't changed, that we do feel that mandatory mask wearing in the system from K-12 would be beneficial. As recently as last evening, I heard the chair of the Center for Disease Control of the U.S. specifically referencing that the most effective tool to combat COVID right now is the use of masks. That being said, the bus concerns remain. Now, that is being worked through, and I'm hopeful that in the very, very soon, every student that requires transportation will be provided. We certainly still have concerns regarding the discrepancy between the safety measures in place for those that work in the education system, teachers, and other jurisdictions. But we continue to engage with authorities to try and work through those bugs as well. As it pertains to 811, the sick calls, yeah, that has created an unnecessary hiccup in the system, one that we advised government months ago that you could certainly expect a spike in student absenteeism. Anyone that's worked in education knows that every fall when the viruses come back together, school starts, it's normal. Unfortunately, regrettably, healthcare weren't ready for this spike that we knew was going to happen.
And let's break down some of that there. Now, we have also been hearing about some of the situations of up to a dozen or so kids absent per class due to some of those colds and illnesses that you expect this time of year. How is that impacting the teacher's workflow in delivering the curriculum this year?
Well, teachers have always found a way through. It certainly goes without saying that when you have large absenteeism, it does create additional complications. This year is complicated by the fact that much of September month would have been taken up by addressing curriculum that there may have been gaps in learning from the previous school year. So you couple that with this, it does create additional complications without doubt. But I have all the faith in the world that our educators, our teachers will find a way to get through. But there are certainly challenges and stress that are applicable to everyone in the system, including students and, of course, teachers.
Now, we've heard that the province did add extra teaching positions and extra teachers assigned to schools. How much has that been helping out over these last few weeks?
Well, I think we have to break that down a little further. When you look at the units that were added, the school counselor allocation, that reversal of the cuts that happened previously, that is a positive move. The inclusion of the school counselor allocation numbers, that brings it back to what was recommended back over 10 years ago. Again, a positive move. Well needed. It was needed before COVID, is needed during COVID. It'll be needed after COVID. The other units that were added were the 70 substitute positions, but I want to clarify is that those positions didn't actually add capacity to the system. What they did do was streamline the process for those schools so that instead of that administrator having to call a substitute, there would have been one there on site. But that person would have been needed to be called anyway based on the data. So it didn't add capacity, it added streamline, and certainly provides continuity for those 70 individuals.
And do you not see a benefit even in streamlining that process?
Oh, I want to stress there is a benefit. Without question, there is a benefit. But I just want to be clear that those 70 positions didn't add capacity to the system. They streamlined. Yes, that is a positive. But I just want to be clear that those positions didn't add additional capacity. It streamlined and made the morning on the substitute calls run a little cleaner for those schools. But these would have been calls that would have been made regardless, even without COVID. I just wanted to be clear on that point.
Right. Now, we've heard from the government that there will be some form of online learning for children who are immunocompromised and can't attend school. What are you hearing about the delivery of that online learning for those students that can come to class?
Well, as recently as last evening, I did do some follow-up in preparation for this interview this morning, is that the district is in the process of taking applications from parents to glean exactly what the need is out there in the system, and we'll be monitoring that. The provision of service for parents, for students who can't attend, I would view that as a positive as well. But it's a process that's worked through, and right now my understanding is the district is gleaning through an application process how many students actually need to avail of those services.
How much guidance and, I guess, training have teachers received on the online learning element?
Well, there have been sessions. Last year, I know one of our special interest councils certainly took the time to do sessions as well. I haven't received a lot of feedback in terms of how teachers feel about the training they received, but I know there was training received in that. I know that we do have in this province a number of individuals, and I would count myself as being one in the previous life, who have been teaching online for over 10 years that are participating in learning innovation. And that's this pool of experts that would certainly be well served to be tapped into for their experience with online learning.
Regardless of position, or parent, teacher, administration, has had to adapt in some way. How would you describe the ways teachers have been adapting over this time?
Teachers are very creative and innovative, without question, and they've found ways to make things work within the extraordinary challenge they find themselves in. I just want to draw attention to this one point, is that it's critically important that all parents in the system understand that this is not a normal year. Curriculum delivery will not be delivered in a normal fashion. Instructional delivery will not be delivered in a normal fashion. And it's very important that parents support teachers as they try and work through what's an unprecedented situation. I heard one senior teacher put it to me this way. This year, every teacher is a first-year teacher trying to find a way through something that no one's experienced before. But if I could circle back to the 811 system, I think it's critically important that one thing that needs to be addressed is access, enhanced access to COVID testing for those who are in the education system. We've raised this point previously that without enhanced access to testing protocols, there is a concern that we may have schools that are shut down because of an unavailability of teachers. Teachers would have to go through the same protocols. That being said, we certainly support these protocols, but it's important that these testing procedures be provided at an enhanced level to our educators, because unless they are actually provide access, we may have schools that won't have teachers available to go in. We need that to be in place.
How concerned are you, with there's a bunch of precautions being taken. We have the masks, the hand washing, the social distancing, yet the common cold seems to be spreading quite quickly amongst the children. How concerned are you that even with these precautions, it's going to be hard to keep COVID-19 at the rate we're going at?
Well, this province is in a very good place right now. The prevalence is low because of the adherence to the measures that have been put in place, the mask wearing, social distancing, hand washing, etc. The best chance for this problem to remain in this low prevalence state is to adhere to those protocols and measures. We have held that the same standards in public venues should be those that are in place in schools, and we're continuing to advocate on that. We are absolutely in the position that these measures should be consistent between the two community centers. But with this thing spreading, I can't stress enough how important it is for everyone in the province to adhere to these measures, whether they're a mandate or not. Adherence to these measures, the mask wearing, the social distancing, the various hand wash procedures, et cetera, that's going to be key and critical to keeping this province's prevalence rate low. The more tightly we adhere to those procedures, the better our chances are staving off the second wave, which we are seeing in other parts of the country.
Mr. Ingram, we're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.
Dean Ingram is the president of the NLTA.